Well, hello there. I'm Isaac, the shepherd. Oh, wait, not that Isaac that you may be thinking about. Not Isaac, the son of Abraham. No. Please, I'm not that old, right? But I do rejoice in the fact that I was named after him, Isaac. You know, when the elders would say that, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, I always found such meaning in that. I had no brothers named Abraham, no brothers named Jacob, but I was in there, Isaac. a little family battles, right? But as Isaac, to be named after one of the Jewish fathers of our nation, whew, incredible. I know you're not going to read about me in the Torah. I'm not there amidst all that beginnings of God's calling of us. But hey, you're going to read about me in the scriptures. Perhaps you have. Because recently, there is this new gospel of Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth, our Savior. And it was written by a Gentile physician who came to faith in our Messiah. His name is Dr. Luke. And believe it or not, he writes about me in there. Oh, not by name again. You're not going to see Isaac the shepherd. But how did he say it? How did he say it? Because I've had somebody who has told me, there were some shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. I'm one of them. Isaac the shepherd in the flesh. Here I am. Hey, I know you may be thinking, I guess all shepherds aren't tall and impressive. No, and there's no way that would be possible. Because most shepherds, you see, they began as a boy. They began out there with their family flock and caring for the sheep, and then were given more responsibility. You have no idea if they were going to be 4.5 foot tall or 6.5 foot tall, right? That's how it began as me, my own experience. I remember being out there with my family, just the sheep, the flock, and them seeing, could I handle more? And eventually being given responsibility to go to pasture with the flock. I remember the first time I was given my own staff and my own rod. Now, some people for their rods, some shepherds like to have a club, something big and heavy. Not me. I liked bamboo. Bamboo that you could sharpen on one end and ding, just kind of, I like the fact that you could whip with it because we were facing a lot of prey. I mean, a lot of dangerous animals. The staff was more of a walking stick. It was more to keep you balanced. And of course, it had the crook. If a lamb got stuck in a crevice, you could pull that lamb out. No doubt about it. Let's be honest. Sometimes you use them interchangeably. I mean, there were times where, you have your rod there ready to jab or swing, but you're losing your balance. And other times, you're caught off guard by a wolf, and it's the staff that the wolf is getting in the face, right? But there's a reason why we had to have them. You yell all you want out there. Nobody's coming, for the most part. The life of a shepherd is a lonely life. Oh, there are times when we are gathered with our flocks near one another, sometimes several of us shepherds over a large, but often you are all alone. And I mean alone. That this is no, you don't do the night shift or the day shift. When you're a shepherd, you are out there, and you are out there from all night, all day, and you're out there for several weeks at a time. And that's one of the reasons why we were looked down upon by the people in the city, because they didn't trust us. I don't know about these guys out there, we never see out there all on their own. They kind of saw us as criminal in some way. They also looked down upon us because they felt that we were uneducated. And I always found myself saying, yes, uneducated in the classroom. But boy, there's a lot to learn out there in the field and to be aware of dangers and to be aware of geography and to be aware of your sheep, to know them individually, because that's what a shepherd is, I'm sorry if I smell, if I walked out here. Shepherds are supposed to smell like sheep. If they don't, they're not good shepherds, right? But so that's, you know, we had these things for protection, but because we were so often out there in the fields alone. I can remember many times that way. And to be honest, it didn't matter to me that we were looked down upon. I kind of took great pride in my profession of being a shepherd. Moses was a shepherd. Did you know that at one time? And of course, David, before he was ever the king, he was a shepherd boy. Oh, and that sense of what I shared with them, that sense of being out there and often being so alone, right? I could think of times where at nighttime, and what I would often do. Now, there are some times that I would get up upon a rock and look down over the sheep, but more often than not, I laid down in the midst of them. That was one of the things that I was taught, and it was I was told one of the best ways to care for your sheep is to get down there in the midst of the sheep, where you can hear an unsettling from any direction, and you're not seen also, which helps not necessarily against the animals, but against the thieves. You didn't just use that rod on a wolf; you used it sometimes on a thief. You know, to wound them, to get them away. And so for me, I would get down and literally lay amidst the sheep and sleep there, right? And I can remember at times being there in a sense of no one else knows I'm here, but also being aware that there's nothing that blocks God's view of me. And there with the sheep just lying there, looking up at the stars and thinking of that Psalm that says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Oh, I can remember sometimes just being there, laying there, and having that sense of, oh God, your shadow is over me. Of course, as a shepherd, you had to lead the sheep sometimes to find new pasture. And as you did, you always were looking for pasture that was near water. But that water could not be a rushing stream. That's deadly for sheep. Sheep can't handle rushing water. They're afraid of it. So it had to be almost still, very slow moving. And sometimes when you would find that perfect spot, and there you would be, and I can think of many a times just there leaning and listening and thinking of David the shepherd, right, who said to God, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside what? The still waters, the quiet waters." To be seen by God, to have that sense of being alone with God. I can tell you many a time, looking up at the stars, I felt that sense of being seen by God. But I have to be honest, and you probably know what I'm going to say. There was a night that took that to a whole new level. I mean, we were together on this particular night. There were a couple flocks there. There were other shepherds, and a couple of them I can remember. They were over, you know, kind of on the edge of their flocks, and I gave me a little, you always had a little more sense of security, and I started to drift just a bit, and as I did, I want you to know something woke me, and it wasn't a distant, you know, sound that got louder and louder. It was suddenly, you know, it was in an instant, whoa, one patch of sky. There, it wasn't a star. The brightness was terrifying. I didn't reach for my rod or my staff. I froze. But there, in the midst of the light, was a being, an angelic being. And he began to speak to us. The words that he said, I know them. And you may say, how do you remember them all these years later? You were a young teen then, and obviously you're not that anymore. How do you remember? Because I've been telling people these words for years. People have come to me and said, did it really happen? What did they say? I can tell you what they said first was, fear not, don't be afraid. I thought that was just, that was personal. It wasn't, we have an announcement from the, it was, hey you, don't be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. For this day in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And then boom! I mean, boom, poof, before you knew it, it wasn't just that. The whole sky, oh my goodness, just exploded with angels and glory to God in the highest, glory to God in the highest. And they're singing. I have no idea how long it went. It could have been seconds. For me, it was a long time because I was frozen in it. But I have to be honest, I wasn't hooked on the words, glory to God in the highest, glory to God in the highest. There were two other words that I was hooked on. For you. For you. Did I just hear that angel say, for you was born this day a Savior. For you. Unto you, for you. And oh, I remember I had chills. I was just the sense of, wait a minute. You know, the angels were still singing glory to God. I was saying, wait a minute. The God of all those stars, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, he's the God of Isaac, the shepherd. Oh. And then as quick, I mean, when I say as quick, I mean, how long, I don't know, but I mean, as suddenly, they were gone. Whew. The angels were gone. And I think it, for every one of us shepherds, there was a sense of shock for the first few seconds. And then all I can tell you is there was no plan. Nobody went, hey, everybody. It was instinctive. We all kind of just sensed that spot was in the center of us all. And we all ran, we kind of all ran to a center spot and huddled up like, what is this? This is amazing. And one of the shepherds, I remember one of the shepherds saying, did I hear that right? Did he say, this is a sign for you? And I said, yeah. And another shepherd said, do you think that means that we should go look for the baby? I said, yeah. I don't know if anybody said anything about, well, what about the sheep? I just know we went and off we went with this sense of what? Have we truly been invited? Has heaven invited us to go see the Savior? I don't know if you understand what that means. Let me think about how many invitations I got. Let's see. There was zero. Shepherds never got invitations. We weren't only looked down upon because we could be criminals or we weren't educated. We were looked down upon because religiously we were considered unclean. We were not, when all the Jews were going up to the feast for celebration, we weren't allowed to go. You know, it wasn't like just as long as you take a shower, you know. Of course, you know, for us a shower was out in the rain. But we weren't able to go do those things, right? We weren't able to go to the synagogue to worship. We weren't allowed. We were unclean. And I thought about that as we were going, because anytime I went toward the city of Bethlehem, anytime I walked toward any city, any crowds, I was aware of the fact that there were those there that were gonna say, stay away, because I'm about to go be involved in some religious, and you're unclean. And so we headed that way with that thought of, how could it be we've been invited? And then, and I don't even know who got there first, we came upon. This scene, well, how do I compare a contrast between being spoken to by an angelic messenger, heaven declaring to us the message, and being brought to a scene of poverty? I mean, one look at this couple. I don't think they would be offended if I said they looked tattered, because they did. They looked unbathed, a bit dirty, a bit dusty, a bit worn and exhausted, certainly poor. And there was the baby laying in a manger surrounded by animals. And for me at that moment, I felt such a bond with this family, because that's where I sleep. I sleep with the animals. I'm a unclean shepherd. And heaven has invited me to this manger scene, to this baby. And at that moment, I thought, I would not be welcome in the palace. I would not be welcome in the Pharisee's house. I would not be welcomed at the synagogue. But here, I was welcomed. And I just thought about the words of Isaiah the prophet, who said about our God, he shall feed his flock, and he will gather the lambs in his arms. And as I stood at that moment, I didn't feel like a shepherd. I felt like a lamb. I felt the shepherd of my great shepherd wrapping me up in his arms. And I just felt such a sense of welcome and belonging. I don't know how long we stayed there. Eventually, we turned to go. I don't know how long we were there. I know when I was there, I didn't see any little drummer boy. I'm not saying he didn't come. I'm not saying there was one. Just when we were there, I didn't see a boy come playing the drums. But we left, and as we were leaving, and we were walking on our way, and we were dumbfounded. A couple of shepherds even saying, this really did happen. And this sense of just overwhelming sense of what we had been invited to. I remember the words of the angel as I was going, for you. But I thought, wait, there was another phrase. This shall be a sign for you, right, that invited us. But it was good news of great joy for what? For all people. Not just for us. For all people. And I thought, wait a minute. Are we being told that we need to go tell this? Think about, again, I want to use the word witnesses. Do you know shepherds were not allowed to be witnesses in court? No one would ever call. If I came to testify in court, I would immediately be thrown out. No one believed the testimony of a shepherd. And could it be that this God who sent us to a Savior laying among the sheep is using shepherds to go be the ones to spread the news? Oh, boy. Well, I can tell you this. I've been witnessing to that for decades. And as I did, I would always wonder. You see, that night at the manger scene, I got a couple pieces of information. I knew that this baby's name was Jesus. I knew that his mother was Mary. They had told us, they gave the information that this was Joseph, a carpenter, and they were from Nazareth. And that's all we knew. There was no invitation to come to their home. Or, matter of fact, myself, about a week later, I went back to that spot. They weren't there anymore. They were gone. But, through the years, I found myself wondering, Lord, when am I going to hear about this? This, I mean, it was all real. The message from the angel was real. The sense at there, it was a real baby, a real child. You know, surely we're going to hear something. And in time, about 30 years later, I began to hear words about this Messiah. Oh, there was always somebody claiming something. But this one, and his name was Jesus. And I said, hey, let me ask you something. Where's he from? And they said, well, he was from Nazareth. Hang on a second. I said, can I ask, what was his father's occupation? Oh, I believe he was a carpenter. Oh. I began to just get so excited. One day as I was, another shepherd was that I was unfamiliar with, you know, and he had come down from a little further north. He had been in Capernaum, and he said, I've met this Jesus of Nazareth. I've heard him. And here's what he said. You know, I am the bread of heaven, the bread that has come down out of heaven. Whoever eats of me will live forever. And I got to tell you again, I felt those chills all over again. Because it took me right back to the manger scene. Remembered thinking Isaiah saying, he shall feed his flock. And I thought, that's how he's going to feed us. Through a Savior who is the bread of life. I've got to hear him. I've got to meet him. And Lord, you have been a shadow over me. You invited me 30 years ago. Oh, if you would, oh God. And I would listen and I would try and hear. And there was one particular day where I did hear people coming out of the city and sharing that this Jesus who claimed to be a Messiah, that he had been causing a ruckus. Evidently, there was a blind man who had been blind from birth and Jesus healed him. And the Pharisees were angry, and they kicked them out of you know the place of gathering. And I thought, I'm going to go. It's go a little closer. And as I was getting a little closer, I wasn't, believe me, I didn't get into the crowds. I knew that they'd start making a fuss about me being there. But I was at a distance, at least, where I could hear him, and I could see him, and I heard him talk about, you know what? Shepherds. What? He's talking about shepherds, this rabbi, this teacher, and he talked about a good shepherd lays down, right, with his sheep. He lays among them. He's the door to get in and out. He's there. He smells like sheep because he's in their midst. And then, I'm telling you, he looked at me. And when he did, the crowd didn't notice. When he looked at me, he said, I am the good shepherd, and I lay my life down for the sheep. As I looked at him, I thought, does he know that I was one of the shepherds? It seems like I'm feeling that same bond I felt when he was an infant. Is he aware? And just there to myself, standing there, I just voiced the words. Whether he heard them or not, I was at a distance. So the crowd didn't turn. I just said to myself, you are my shepherd. You are my Savior. And that's why I wanted to come here this Christmas morning. Do you know the God whose shadow was upon me as a young boy, as a young teen, abiding in the fields, that sense of, oh God, you see me. That same God invited me, an unclean shepherd, invited me to share closeness with the Savior that was born. And that Savior grew and declared to me, Isaac, Isaac the shepherd, Isaac my little lamb, I have laid down my life. I will lay down my life for you. I wanted you to know that. Surprise. It's Pastor Vince. Okay, I, in case any of you watching were unaware, and I realized halfway through that I did have my Christmas socks on. So if any of you, hopefully you filmed from the legs up or whatever. You know, any of you sitting there saying, wait, is he adding to Scripture? You know, is this a new translation that's going to talk about John chapter 10? And I don't know about any Isaac the shepherd. But you know what? I was sitting thinking about it. Could it have been? The shepherds were young. Could it be that one of the shepherds as a teen who heard the news lived long enough to hear the Savior? Whew. All I know is this. We have. You've heard the news. And the Apostle Paul says, you've heard the news and it's crystal clear if you're watching us here or if you're watching us online. Paul says, all of us have sinned. We're all unclean. We've all come short of the glory of God, every one of us. And you have the right to say, I have lived a better life than that person. And I believe you probably have. There are many people living good, moral, generous lives. But what Scripture says is none of us reach the holiness of God. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And yet here's the good news. Scripture doesn't say once you get yourself cleaned up enough, Christ will tell you that he died for you. No, Scripture says while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ didn't die for me. In any good ways, he died for the worst that I've ever been and could be. And so Paul continues to say to the Romans that the wages of sin is death. That's what I deserve. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so he says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved, right? That's for you. God invites you. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob wants to be the God of Vitz, wants to be your God. Would you bow with me as we pray? Almighty God, we come before you today. And we ask you, Lord God, to have your way in this moment. If there's anyone here, stir our hearts. Maybe you're here today and this is your moment. God wants to give you the greatest gift on Christmas. And that greatest gift is this, that you would right now say, Almighty God, I admit that I stand unclean. I have sinned and fallen short of the glory that the angels sing about. But I have heard your invitation today. You are inviting me to come to the manger scene. You are inviting me to see that Savior and to hear your words that you've laid down your life for me. Jesus, I believe in you. Forgive me of my sin. Jesus, save me. On this Christmas day, I receive your gift, forgiveness of sin, eternal life. I rejoice in you, O God. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.